Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, everyone. It is now the 8:30 hour. Time for words of wisdom, plain and simple. And I'm your host, Diane Adams. It's always an honor and a privilege. And I thank God for the honor. And I thank each and every one of you for joining us on tonight, the body of Christ, as we explore the word of God together. At this time, the title of our lesson tonight is, what we're going to look at tonight is to let us know that this is the reason why Jesus had to come. Hallelujah. And we're going to be in the book of Genesis, the third chapter. So at this time, we're going to play a song, and then we're going to go to God's throne of grace, where mercy can be found, and then we'll expound on the word of God together.
Jesus saved. Come on, somebody. Oh, hallelujah. I like how the young people be doing.
Thank you.
Praise God, praise God, from whom all blessings flow. And at this time, it's time for us to go to the throne of grace. Our prayer warrior has pressed the one button on her phone, and her mic is open. Sister Pam, I turn everything over to you.
Good evening, my sisters and brothers. This is the prayer list for Wednesday, December the 7th, 2022. Clinton Camp, Kathy Hartman, Sandra Bridges, Tori Sester, Shay Victoran, Minister Diane Adams and family, Jada Porter, our Wednesday night Bible study class, Diane McBride and family, Daryl Coley, Roderick McGee, John McGee, Rogers Lacaze, Brandon Joseph, Quan Charles, Kalia Edwards, all the unsaved souls, Zabrian Williams, Angel Taylor, Tanish Hart, Zena and family, Barbara, and baby Gabe. Thanking you, Father God, tonight for life. Thanking you, O Lord, for affording us this opportunity to come together for another Wednesday night Bible study. Father God, we come on this first Wednesday in December to lift up our brothers and sisters that's named on our prayer list who come asking for prayer. Lord, we pray that whatever their needs may be, and if it's in your will and not our will, that their every need be supplied. Father God, we need you to heal their hearts. Father God, we need you to heal their minds. Father God, we need you to heal their souls. Father God, we need you to heal their bodies. Move in a way, O Lord, that only you can. We thank you, Father God, for your grace and for your mercy. We thank you most of all, Lord Jesus, for your our sister in Christ and our teacher, Minister Diane Adams. Lord, I pray that you continue to use her in a mighty way. Thank you, O Lord, for what you've done for us. Thank you for what you're doing right now and what you're still to do. Thank you, Father God, for your darling son, Jesus the Christ. And it's in his name I give praise, glory, and honor. In Jesus' name, amen, and thank God.
Amen, amen, amen. Thank you, my sister. Thank God for you and your faithfulness. May God forever bless and keep you. Well, it's Bible study time. As I said earlier, the title of the lesson is, when we get through with this lesson, I pray that you know that this is why Jesus had to come and why we needed a Savior. I'm in the book of Genesis in the third chapter. As always, we do a little intro. So I'm going to do that at this time. And I want you to know that sometime we have to go back before we can go forward. You know, sometime when people are learning and they don't get the foundation in the beginning, they struggle through whatever lesson is being taught. So we're going to go back to go forward. You see, this is the close of the year, and this is the season of Jesus. And, you know, we're going to talk about Jesus was born and how he walked the earth and what he did and how he died. But this here, what we're going to do tonight, is really considered the first prophecy. And it was given by God concerning a Messiah to come, and we'll see the reason why. So I want you to know, we're going in the book of Genesis. It was written by Moses. It's called one of the books of the law. The word Genesis means the beginning. In the book of Genesis, we see the hand of God at work as he spoke his creation into existence. God spoke all things into existence by his word. And with the word, he designed the entire universe and mankind. God created by the word. He spoke everything into existence. You see, John 1 and 1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. Here we see that that John is letting us know that Jesus and God is one. That's where we get revelation about the Trinity, 3 in 1, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. You see, Jesus is called the Word of God. Jesus is called the Living Word. We say that everything that we are is all by God's grace, all things through Christ Jesus. You see, God created us because he wanted a holy family. So he created us in his own image and likeness so that we would be on one accord. You see, God wanted us to fellowship with him, and he provided all of the necessary provisions for us to live in harmony with us. I want you to know tonight that you don't have to worry, because God is always doing his part. God is making a way for us to be the best we can be. You see, God had purpose, not have. God has perfect knowledge of all things. His understanding is so much greater than ours, and he has no limits. God knows everything. That's why he has the attribute of being omniscient, all-knowing. God knows everything, and yes, he knew that man would fall and that sin would enter in. You see, a part of God's plan included redemption of man, and that's why Jesus had to come. God knew Adam and Eve would fall short of the glory of God, and in his plan, he had included a plan of redemption, and it was through his son, and that's why Jesus had to come, because God knew we needed a savior. You know, not that God orchestrated the fall of man, but he knew he would fall, but God allowed it. You see, nothing has ever happened that God didn't know beforehand, and nothing has ever or will ever taken by surprise. All of the trials and tribulations that's in the world today, y'all, and we just don't know how much worse it could get. And we cry out to God daily, but you got to realize God knows what's going on. Yes, prayer is in order. God want to hear our petitions, but it's not taking him by surprise. And when we pray, God knows the situations we are praying about. Hallelujah, y'all. You see, God began his creation with the end in mind. He created in the beginning with the end in mind, and is working all things out together for our good in his master plan. He started and he will complete all that is needed through eternity for you and for me. But it's our job to cooperate with the Holy Spirit and trust him. You see, there's a scripture in Philippians, the first chapter and the sixth verse, that says, be confident of this very thing, that he which began a work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. What's that telling us, brothers and sisters? We don't have to worry that God is going to take vacation on us. God doesn't take no time out. God don't look for to take personal time away from his people. God said he'll never leave us nor forsake us. And this scripture said, have confidence, no matter how it looks, no matter how it feels. God is sitting on his throne. He's sitting high and he's looking low. And he can do anything but fail. And you see, before we could understand why Jesus had to come, we must understand the fall of mankind and its cause and the effect. You know, everything has a cause and an effect. So the cause was man sinned, and the effect, man was separated from God and destined to die eternity. Why did Jesus have to come? Because man fell. And man in and of himself could never save himself. God wanted to redeem his people, so they needed a savior. And that's why Jesus had to come. And man had separated himself from God. And God wouldn't be able to fellowship with his people, his creation. God had to find a way to bring us back into the fold, to allow us to become a part of the household of faith and be a member in the body of Christ, because the sin had separated us from God. But when Jesus came, and if we accept him, because we realize we need a savior, then it brings us in. We become heirs and joint heirs along with Jesus Christ. And we could go to God for ourselves. And that's why Jesus had to come, because we needed a savior. So I'm going into the scripture tonight. I'm in the book of Genesis, the third chapter, and I'm going to start at the first verse. Now the serpent was more subtle. That word there, if you're in your Bibles, means cunning and crafty, than any beast of the field which the Lord had made. And he said to the woman, ye, has God said, ye shall not of every tree in the garden. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. Now, this lets us know God had already pre-told them what not to do. And the point is, you got to go back, not go back, but where we at with the creation. God created everything, and he said, it is good. Man didn't have to work. They didn't have to figure out what to do for themselves. God took care of them totally. He was doing everything that was needed. The food that they ate, they didn't grow the trees. They didn't need no clothes at that time. And God was providing for them. And he put them in a paradise. Beautiful. So we have to know that. So now does Satan come to this paradise, and he began to talk to the woman, and that's the scriptures I just read. He told her that God didn't say what she said, and she said what God said. And on verse 4, the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die, for God doeth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and ye shall be as God, with a little g, knowing good and evil. He's telling her what God meant. You see, Satan can always, Satan knows the scriptures, but when he's trying to get you to do what he wants you to do, he'll take a scripture and make the interpretation of the scripture fit your agenda. And you just be just as confused as all outdoors, and you believe you're probably right. God said, don't eat and don't touch, or you die. Now, that was the command. Satan said, you could eat it. You're just going to be wise. You're going to become a god. Lies. The devil is a liar. And verse 6, and when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and the tree to be desired to make one wise, she took up the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave unto her husband with her, and he did eat. We see that Eve didn't make Adam eat. She offered it, and he took it, the disobedience to the command of God. That's what put all of this hell and damnation into play. Evil crept in. Sin. Sin come along with a lot of baggage, y'all. Sin. Deception. injustice, and so much more. So they ate. She ate. She gave some to him. And the eyes of them were both open, and they knew they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. Now you see how this is? See, before they ate and sinned, they were naked, but it was all right. They was living in a time of innocence, and I'm going to talk about that a little bit when we get in it. See, they was living in a dispensation, really, what is called a dispensation of innocence. So it was all right to be naked. God created them, and he didn't make them no clothes, so we know it was all right. But when sin entered the world, they felt their nakedness. Because you see, when you sin, you fall into a state of shame and a lot of other things. Verse 7, the eyes of them both were open, and they knew they were naked. And they sewed the leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of God among the trees in the garden. Don't sin do that? You know, sometimes when people are sinning, they don't want nobody to see it. Sin will make you duck and hide. It'll make you shame. It'll do all these things to you. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid. See, fear done brought in fear now. And fear is not of God, because God is a God of love, of power, and a sound mind. See, sin entered in. They knew they was naked after sin entered, and now he afraid. Now we see fear done enter in. And they hid, so shame entered in. And I could go on and go on and go on and go on. Look at the world in 2022. When that sin was put in motion in the Garden of Eve, the things that we see, the lies and deception and hatred, come on, y'all, it's all a part of that sin once it entered in. In verse 11, and he said, who told thee that thou was naked? Hast thou eaten up the tree? Wherefore I commanded thee that thou should not eat. God said, you're naked. Who told you was naked? What you know about naked? Oh, you must have ate from the tree, disobeyed my command, sin entered in, and these are the feelings and emotions that sin carry upon the man. That's why in Romans 8 and 1, God said there's no more condemnation for those who love the Lord. See, they was being condemned. They got convicted. They was shamed. They hid. They dealing in fear. And we're going to see some other characteristics of sin. You see, if I break a little bit these scriptures down that I just read, you see the scripture said that the serpent was not given up. Temptation is Satan's invitation to you to give to his kind of life. Satan is always trying to get us to follow him. Satan can only tempt. He could put the thought in your mind trying to get you to accept the perception. Once you accept the perception, it becomes a part of your reality and what was said seemed to be real. And most of the time, it's not. You see, Satan put thoughts in our mind even today, each and every one of us. And I want to tell you, the thought is not the worst thing in the world, but it's what you do with the thought once you receive it. Do you cast it away? Do you do as John 4 and 7 say, resist the devil and he has to flee? Do some people just say, Lord, oh, they'll say, Satan, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. What do you do with the thoughts? Because if you let them stay too long, it's going to be harder to evict them. He said, if you eat, your eyes will be opened, and be as God, knowing good and evil. See, that's how Satan was twisting the word of God. Just like he did Jesus when Jesus was tempted after he had fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. But Jesus came back with the true word, and he said, man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. Satan know the word better than plenty of people. Satan told her all of that, but he did not include the consequences. She accepted his perception, took, gave some to her husband. And, you know, sometimes you got to look at it. God has said you'll surely die. You see, we have to just trust God, you see, because when he said that, she took it at face value. And after she ate and Adam saw that she didn't die immediately, he ate. But what God said, was it not the truth? Yes, it was the truth. He told them they was going to die. Not a physical death wasn't going to happen then. But the debt that we face today in this world is the same debt that Jesus spoke of to Adam and Eve in the garden. So debt, we are still dying. We are dying because of sin. We died when sin was put into motion. It's the same debt, knock on all of our doors, that was created in the garden with the sin of disobedience. Hallelujah. They did not die immediately, Adam ate. But I want to let you know that they died spiritually immediately. And that's what I was saying. That was why they wasn't concerned about being naked and just enjoying everything that God had given them. Because it was a dispensation of time of innocence. But when sin entered the world, all innocence was lost. And the dispensation of time of conscience, then we began to have a conscience. And we had a right a little bit as a free moral agent to make decisions for ourselves. Innocence was gone. They didn't understand fully, as with us. We may not understand all of the things that God is saying to us, but we still have to trust and obey. God, even though I don't understand it, I'm going to do what you say. God, even if I don't understand it, I'm going to just hold on because maybe I will understand by and by. You see, once the disobedience took place, everything had changed. Their eyes was open to things that had never concerned them. Y'all know the story. She gonna have pain in childbirth. Adam got to till the land and eat by the sweat of his brow. They didn't have to do nothing but enjoy one another and enjoy the relationship they had with God. That's the way God created it. You see, sin produced shame. Shame lets you know you're out of order. They knew they were naked, and they immediately tried to cover themselves with fig leaves. Their lack of clothing and the innocence it entailed, which represents the state of pure love of God. You see, when we have done wrong and hear the voice of reasoning, we try to duck and hide. God called Adam, where art thou? It's not like he didn't know where Adam was. He just wanted to hear what he had to say. God now who told you was naked? God knew what had happened. And that's how sin entered the world. And God knew we needed a savior. So in God's master plan before the foundation of the world, all of this was included. Glory be to a wonderful God, y'all. God's not making it up as he goes. If we look at verse 12, and 13. They say, and the man said, the woman that thou give it to me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said to the woman, what is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. You see, when we do something wrong, the right thing to do is just admit it and take your lick. I want you to know the blame game that's alive and well and happens often here on earth. That's where the blame game started. You know, plenty young adults, young adults that maybe felt they had a dysfunctional family as growing up, and they're angry, and they have anger in them, and they're bitter, and they always like to say what my mama should have did or what my mama didn't do, or my daddy wasn't there, and my this wasn't there, and this wasn't there. The blame game. All of that concentration you putting on someone else, if you take that same amount and look at yourself, you may get from point A to point B. But you're holding on because, you see, when you blame somebody else in your own mind, it makes you feel like you would do it better, would have did it better, or could do it better. Come on, y'all. Nobody loved me. And we go on and on and on. Rather than looking at ourselves, we find every other aspect to place blame, and then we don't have to look at ourselves as much. And the blame game is here, and it's alive, and it's well today. Yes, God did give Adam the woman. But watch this. It was for his own good. When God created her, he said, you need to help me. I'm going to give you, it's not good for you to be alone. And God gave him the woman. You see, but sin blinds us from seeing the blessing. Now, you see, he's talking to God as if Eve is a curse now. She wasn't a curse when God asked him to name her. And he said, woman, and that W-O, wow, like wow, wowman. You know, he was so excited. And now, it's like, why you gave her to me? And you see, he stopped looking at the blessing. And looking at a situation. You see, the woman blamed the serpent, who really didn't make her eat, but suggested it with lies. You have to watch who you are listening to and who advice you are following. So if we go on to the rest of the scriptures, I'm in 14 now. And the Lord said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and every beast in the field. Upon thy belly thou shalt go, and the dust thou shalt eat all the days of your life. God then punished him. Hallelujah. You thought you had it going on. Now, while on the ground, while in the dirt, all of your life. And then this is the prophecy. If you got your Bibles underlined. Man, now, this is so amazing, y'all. God created the world in the first and second chapter of Genesis, the beginning. Think about that for a little while. Genesis 1 and Genesis 2, the creation. And here we get to the third chapter. And if you read the superscription in your Bible, it says the fall of man. How soon? Come on, y'all. It wasn't way, you know, had the 39th book in the Bible. It's in the first book and at the third chapter. But this is what God said, Genesis 3 and 15. I will put enmity between thee, talking of Satan, and the woman, talking about Eve generations, and Satan and his imps, and between thy seed, that Satan demons, you know, when Satan was expelled out of heaven, a third of the angels went with him, the demons, his little devils, and her seed. And Jesus Christ is going to be a part of our seed, but not only him, but all of us. He said he's going to have enemies. You see, we have a war that's going on daily in our body. It's the war between the spirit, and the war goes on all the time within us. God said in Genesis 3 and 15, I will make intimate enemies of your seed and your seed. Satan is constantly trying to get us to follow him. And the Spirit of God is constantly telling us to follow him. You know, like they say, they got, you know, some people say two little things on their shoulder and you have to decide which way to go. But there's a battle going on in our lives against the spirit and the flesh. And it's evident that sometimes the spirit wins, but it's also evident that sometimes the flesh wins. He said, I'm going to put enmity between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Y'all remember when Jesus was crucified, they nailed his heel on the cross, and Satan going to take a blow to his head. He's going to be knocked out, really defeated. Jesus' heel is going to be bruised. Verse 16, unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception in sorrow. Thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. Was that a part of the consequences of sin? Childbirth was. Satan wrote wilding on the ground. Jesus' heel had to be bruised. And Satan has to be knocked out. And verse 17. Now that's what he told a woman for her part. Because all sin has consequences, y'all. You got to remember that. And 17. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat. Cursed is the ground for thy sake, and sorrow shall thy eat of it all the days of your life. Look at here in 18. Thorns and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herbs of the field. They was vegetarians then, y'all. But before they sinned, the food was on the trees and everything, and all they had to do was eat it. Now they got to till the land. They got to pick the weeds. They got to do everything. Sin brought in thorns and thistles, weeds. They didn't have to worry about that, y'all. And then in 19, he said, in the sweat of thy face shall thy eat bread, till thou return to the ground. For out of it was thy taken, for thus thou art, and into dust thou shalt return. You want to know where the hardship came from? Because of sin. We see the things that crept into the world right here. And if you read the Bible, you'll see all of the rest of the things that was attached to it being manifested. You see, here we see that Adam and Eve chose their course of action, disobedience. See, they became free moral agents because they did what they wanted to do and not follow God. They did what they wanted to do. Their course of action was disobedience. Now watch this. And now God chooses his. You're going to have fame. You're going to work. And, you know, and on and on. We can do what we want, but God got the upper hand. Y'all got to remember that. When Jesus died on the cross, the Bible says in John 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes shall not perish but have everlasting life. When Jesus was on the cross and he hung his head to the side and he said it was finished, if you accept Christ as your Savior, your sins are all taken away. But I want to let you know tonight, the consequences for those sins belong to you. Adam and Eve sinned, and we just read in the Word of God the consequences for their sins: weeds and thorns and thistles and pain and labor and so many more. Adam and Eve's sin set in motion the world's tendency towards disobeying God. That's where we got it. Remember, we took Adam's sin nature, and we got that nature till we die and Jesus come back. And if anybody think they don't have a sin nature, they done worked it out so good that they don't have a sin nature, then why, when Jesus come back, he's going to have to take off the corruptible and put on the incorruptible? Adam and Eve sin set in motion the world's tendency towards disobeying God. We all have inherited that sinful nature. You see, now God cursed the serpent. Yes, he did, and his followers. He cursed the serpent and made him our enemy. His seeds, his followers, and her seeds, our Savior. The phrase shall bruise his heel referred to Satan. Many attempts to defect Jesus' life on earth. He will crush your head. Foreshadowing Satan's defeat when Jesus rose from the dead. You see, when Jesus was on the cross and he died and they buried him, Satan thought he had the victory. And when he got the blow to his head, when Jesus got up on that third day with all power in his hand, you see, a strike to the heel is not as deadly as a blow to the head. Glory be to God. You see, God is introduced in the part of his master plan concerning salvation through his son. That's what we're looking at tonight. Genesis 3:15 is the first prophecy I like to believe, and it was made by God, and all prophecy come to pass. Hallelujah. You see, the woman shall suffer, and her husband going to rule over it, and the grounds was cursed, and Adam had to work to eat. Whenever you decide to do things your way, you should remember that God has the last say. And I'm going to read the last scriptures that we're going to go over tonight. And I'm going to start at verse 20. And Adam called his wife Eve, because she was the mother of all things. Unto Adam also, and to his wife, did God make the coat of skin, and he clothed him. I have to stop right here. No, I'm going to keep going. I might have, when I start explaining, so I won't repeat it. Verse 22, and the Lord said, behold, the man has become as one of us to know good and evil. And now lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat it and live forever. You know, there was two trees in the garden, and they had the tree of good and evil and the tree of everlasting life. And after they had sinned, if they would have if God would have left them in a garden and they would have ate off the tree of everlasting life, they wouldn't have died. And you know how corrupt this world is and how evil and how sin escalates. Could you imagine living hundreds of years under these oppressions? After a while, what, they going to have three little children jacking your car? Because the age is getting down and down. And then all of the leaders are so crooked. Can you imagine leaders 10 times, 15 times worse than the ones we have now? Can you imagine the oppression that would be, and then you wouldn't die? So God knew he didn't want them to touch that because they wouldn't die. And if they wouldn't die, they would suffer forever here on earth. So what God did, he put them out the garden. If you read, you'll see it. You see, and just to talk about that a little bit, a little while. While debt is tragic and an enemy of God's perfect creation, death, this same curse of death is also what allowed Jesus to become man and to actually die on the cross as a ransom for his people. See, many times we don't think about that. See, even though God allowed Satan to orchestrate bringing debt into the world, you see, after the sin happened, we were separated from God. And to be with God and to live with God, we needed eternal life. And we couldn't save ourselves, so we needed a Savior. And because mankind needed to be saved, we needed a man, human man, to save us. But the man had to be without spots and blemishes. He had to be without sin. He had to be sinless. And he had to die to rise, that we could believe in a resurrection for ourselves. Not believe in a resurrection of Jesus for ourselves, but believe in the resurrection as Jesus resurrected from the dead, we shall also be resurrected. Like when you get baptized, they say you're going into a liquid grave and you're coming out a living, you know, you're coming out different. Resurrection, you know, being resurrected. But Jesus had to die that we may live. So even Satan set that up for the bad. This is one good aspect of it that was necessary for our salvation as well. And then that's not just one, because all of us will be able to live eternally with God. And if without a Savior, we would have died and went to hell and damnation eternally. But we have everlasting life with Jesus Christ. You see, if Adam had eaten from the tree of life after he had sinned, all mankind would have lived forever estranged from God, because we couldn't have been redeemed. And Christ, our Redeemer, would not have been able to die on the cross in redemption. You see, in other words, if Jesus did not subject sinful humans with a curse of death, sinful man would not have any chance of being reconciled back to God. See, once sin entered, we were separated from God, and we could never have a relationship. And God created us that he could have a relationship with us, but it salvaged it. That's why when we say Jesus died, he bridged the gap. We no longer have to go to the saints in the Bible like they did, and the Catholic people going to the priest to confess their sins. And in the old days, they had the prophets. that God spoke through the prophets for the people, and they had the priests, and they had the judges, and then they had kings. You see, we could go to God for ourselves because of what Jesus Christ done on the cross. He bridged the gap that we have the right. We have the right to go to God for ourselves. Glory be to God, y'all. If God did not prevent Adam from eating from the tree, but God did in his ultimate wisdom, he knew what would happen. So the honoree of all of this is that while the wages of sin is death, and while death is the last enemy that would eventually be destroyed at the final consummation of all things. See, because death's got to be destroyed. The entrance of physical death is also the provision that allows for the gospel of redemption. You know, things Satan turn around for the bad, God turn around for the good. You see, the Bible goes on to teach us in Romans 5 and 17, for if by one man's offense death reigned by one, Adam, much more they which receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. You know, God is like, you know, he, even though we have the sin nature of Adam, God made it where everybody would be able to stand on their own body. He wasn't going to let us go down like that, because what Adam did, all of us line up in hell. He gave everybody a chance. So by one man's sin, we entered in. And by another man's sin, if we accept him, we are taken out. And that man is Jesus Christ. And I thank God for Jesus. And that's just a little bit on why Jesus had to come. When we do these lessons, and it's an hour, usually an hour time frame, the information given is designed to perk your interest, to make you say, and go back and look some more. That's why we give scriptures and we tell you where to find it, and really at the end of the lesson, you could ask a question and things like that. But we had to, you know, we had to look at, well, I decided to look at why Jesus had to come. And as I said in the beginning, because we in the time of the birth of Jesus, Jesus is the reason for the season. And it's time to bring to memory what Jesus did and how he came, and I took the time to say why he had to come. And so next week I'll talk about Jesus coming and his birth. And then y'all know the next week after that I won't be on that Wednesday. So I'll pick back up on the 28th, I think it is. Let me make sure. I'm almost sure it's the 28th. So that's our lesson for today. You know, you got to have a good foundation to finish the race well. When God did his creation and made his master plan, God began with the end in mind. And that's what we should do as well. With everything that we do, count the cost and begin with the expectations of the end, giving you the result that you need. The success and the joy in life. That's our lesson for today. Any comments, questions, or anything you want to add to it, you want to make a comment, you might want to tell us something about Genesis in the beginning, you can do so at this time. Anyone would like to ask a question? Well, if there's nothing else to be said, at this time we can have our benediction. Pam. Your mic is open.
Benediction tonight is coming from 2 Peter 3:18. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen.
Amen, my sister. I just want y'all to realize as we enter this holiday season, I've been getting a lot of calls with people going through depression. They always talk about people have a lot of depression around the holidays, and people may have lost loved ones, and at this time they miss them and things like that. You know, and I know depression is real, and grieving is a personal thing. But I just ask you that you just hold on to God. Don't turn away from God in your depression or in your feeling horrible. Go to God. Get closer to God and your sisters and brothers of Christ. Get you a prayer partner. You know, do whatever is necessary that you don't sink into a level where it's even harder for you to come out of. And that's it for today. I pray that everybody be blessed. Enjoy your night's rest. And if it's God's will and your desire, we'll be back on the 28th of December. And I'll be looking forward to see you then. But until then, go in peace. And I want you to know that God loves you really good. Be blessed. Good night.
Good night.